This is NPR Illinois. I'm Jamie Dunn. While much in current state politics seems like doom and gloom, Charlie Wheeler took a look at the positives from the governor's State of the State address for this week's Illinois Issues report. I sat down with Wheeler to talk about his column. In your column, you say that the governor's State of the State address last week could be an indication of a light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to the budget impasse. How might that be possible?
Well, in listening to the governor's comments, as the column suggests, I was almost of two opinions. On the one hand, as I noted, he tossed in the kind of obligatory digs at trial lawyers and collective bargaining. But on the other hand, he also talked about some of the accomplishments that he had been able to rack up in his first year. For example, he talked about the major changes in policing, training for police officers that were approved overwhelmingly by the General Assembly that he signed into law. He talked about changes in the unemployment insurance system, which are going to save money for employers, and at the same time included some changes that the organized labor folks were looking for. So what I wanted to do was focus on the positive, the fact that the governor cited instances in where there was progress made, but as Mike Madigan, the House Speaker, noted after the speech, in none of those instances did the governor say, you have to enact these elements of my turnaround agenda before I will move forward on these reforms and these changes. Leading up to the State of the State message, it was more of this campaign mode where you slam the Democrats, you slam the union bosses, you slam Mike Madigan in particular. And then to hear the governor talk about things, as he said, serious negotiation based on mutual respect for the two co-equal branches of government. He suggested we should cast aside partisanship and ideology. I was heartened by that. I think the ideology on the governor's part, his opposition to organized labor's role in the public sector, and on the Democrats, particularly Madigan's part, his commitment to the idea that if you do make the kind of crippling cuts to organized labor that the governor is proposing, you're going to harm working people. And so I suggest in the column, let's just stipulate, yes, the governor wants to limit collective bargaining. No, the speaker doesn't. And we'll say, well, you have your opinion, I have my opinion. We'll just disagree on those opinions and let it go at that. Now, let's move beyond that and find areas where we have some disagreement, but it's not such a bottom line, total commitment disagreement as on the question of unions, and instead we'll see if there's not a way we can find a common path to move forward. And I've suggested workers' compensation might be an area, local government consolidation, enacting legislation to help reduce the glut of local taxing bodies that we have, perhaps some changes in the system under which people are allowed to sue others who have caused them some harm. There are areas where we can work together, I believe, if we decide that it's more important to get something done, it's more important to put a budget in place. We're not going to repudiate our deeply held principles, but we're going to agree to disagree so that we can move forward on the things where we can find common ground for the good of the people of Illinois.
This isn't the first column that you have written kind of urging the governor and lawmakers to focus on what is doable. What do you think it will take to kind of get that shift in thinking, both from the governor and from the Democratic leaders?
I'm really not sure what it's going to take to make what the governor referred to as the grand compromise come about. I mean, last fall I was saying, well, everybody knows what we're going to have to do is raise taxes and make deep cuts. People aren't going to want to vote for that until they know whether or not they're going to have a primary opponent. And I figured after the filing date closed and when we were into January, when legislation could be passed with just a simple majority rather than a three-fifths, I figured, okay, I'm a lawmaker. I know I have a pass in the primary, so I can vote for something that may be difficult, for higher taxes, program cuts, without having to worry about repercussions at the polls. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened yet.
In his speech, the governor mentioned some policy goals that will likely need more funding. What are some of those proposals?
One is revamping our criminal justice system. The governor has a very ambitious plan to try and reduce the Illinois prison population by a quarter by the year 2025. Now, you're not just going to open the doors and send them on their way. You have to get them ready for life on the outside. And I think the governor is correct in saying we have to do more rehabilitative programming. We have to have more educational opportunities, more vocational training, more substance abuse treatment, all of which is going to cost money. Another subject he talked about was revamping the way we fund our local schools. And he says he wants to revamp the formula so that more resources will go to school districts in rural areas, school districts with large numbers of low-income kids. At the same time, he says he doesn't want to shortchange or cut back on what's going to the wealthier districts. Same thing with information technology. The governor wants to upgrade our systems, which I suppose when we retire some of these computers, we could send them to the Smithsonian. That's going to cost money, too. It's been a constant theme for decades that we need to be more cutting edge, more state-of-the-art in our technology, but all the state's other pressing needs came before the notion that, well, we have to buy new computers or invest in more sophisticated software.
Your column focused on the state of the state, but the governor will soon be giving another speech that's far more anticipated typically, and especially this year, his budget address. And I'd be kind of remiss if I didn't ask you a little bit about what you will be listening for and what you expect to or maybe hope to see out of that.
This one will be, I guess, the most fascinating budget presentation ever. And I say that because this is unprecedented in Illinois history. And I can speak personally going back to the beginning of Illinois' modern fiscal era, back to 1970 when Governor Ogilvie proposed for FY70 an annual budget. Up until that point, Illinois had budgeted on a two-year basis. Governor Ogilvie said, hey, that's crazy. Let's do it every year. And since that time, we've always had a governor propose a budget, legislature enact the budget, and we carried on until the following spring when it was time for the governor to propose a new budget. This year, for the first time, Governor Rauner will be addressing the General Assembly, and unless there's some miracle that happens between now and the 17th of February, the governor will be talking about an FY17 spending plan before we actually have an FY16 spending plan on the books. And I was talking to my students the other day, how are you going to cover the budget? And in the past, one of the ways you did it was you looked to see who are the winners and who are the losers. What department, what program is going to get increased? What department, what program might be cut? That's going to be very hard to do this time because, with the exception of education for the little kids, all of the department budgets are running on autopilot. So there really isn't anything to compare whatever the governor recommends in 17 with in terms of what's on the books for 16, because there's nothing on the books in most cases.
To hear more with Charlie Wheeler and read his column for Illinois Issues, go to our website, wuis.org.